Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our first lesson for today, King Herod, who is the governor and king of Judea, has decided that the Christian people, that those who are following the Christian faith, something at that time called the Way, were getting to be too pesky. And so he began to persecute them, and he kills James. And he has Peter put in prison under heavy guard. It says in the lesson that they laid violent hands on them. So they put him in prison, and then something amazing happens. An angel comes to Peter and sets him free. And I love this gospel because Peter, all the way up until the very end, believes he is having a hallucination. This cannot be real. And so he just goes along with the dream until the very end when he gets out of the prison and they've passed by the guards. All of a sudden he says, "It wasn't a dream. It really happened." And so he goes off on his way. It's an amazing story and one that we don't have a lot of connection with because it's not that often, first of all, that we're in prison, and second, that when we are in prison, that someone lets us go. At least not before our release date. But I think about this text in terms of the church. Herod binds Peter and the other Christians in hopes of quelling this Christian movement. When Peter gets out, the part of the text that we don't have is Peter goes to the home of a friend and he tells them the story of what happened. And they hear it. And at first they don't believe him. But over time, they come to believe him. And it says in the reading that the word began to grow and gain adherence. This is that story that begins in a very fervent way the spread of Christianity across the world. Now, Herod is furious when Peter gets out. He's so furious that he calls the guards to him. And he questions them, and when they don't give him the answer that he wants, he kills them. And later in the day, the people are trying to make up to him, the people of Sidon and Tyre. But of course, Herod will have none of it. And this is actually in the Lutheran handbook as one of the five gross stories of the Bible. So if you get a chance, pick that up. We do have some fun here as Lutherans. And what happens to poor Herod is that he gets up in the morning and he puts on his robe and he's standing before the people and he sits down in his throne and God strikes him dead and he gets eaten by worms. Don't mess with the church. So what does it mean for us? Peter gets bound. And in binding him, Herod hopes that the truth and the freedom of the gospel will also be bound. But God is having none of it. God sets Peter free. And the gospel just explodes. As Peter comes out of the prison and he's standing there and he realizes that he's free, there's this wonderful little line that you might have missed. He realizes that he has been set free from his chains and from the expectations of the people. God's unexpected gospel is loose on the world. So my question is then, what binds us as a church? I think in many, many ways, this is certainly a story about us. These days, as you hear me preach all the time, and you're probably bored to death hearing it, but there is a tremendous sense in which the church continues to be bound. The only problem is these days it's not from outside forces, is it? We don't have Herod or some legislature saying that Christianity should be outlawed. That we should take all of you, you know, we don't have to bar the doors or put Fred outside to make sure that there's no people coming to arrest you all for gathering together and praising God, right? Go ahead, nod your heads. Thank you. Well, one of the things that binds us is our own idolatry. And interestingly enough, in a book by Kelly Fryer wrote a book called Reclaiming the C Word. And one of the things she says that binds us is our own idolatry, and one of our chief idols is the church. Oh, what a bummer. It's the church. That we have become so enamored of our own forms of worship and our own habits and our own desires to have things our own way that we have started to ignore, she says, the possibility that God is alive and well among us. I have actually been to churches that didn't mention God or Jesus throughout the whole service. Now that's a trick. Oh, and they were Christian churches, by the way. I mean, you can certainly go to a temple and not hear Jesus mentioned. We have become enslaved, Kelly says, to our own habits, to our own forms. A second thing she says binds us as the church, imprisons us, is lack of passion. Apathy. Apathy. Now, maybe it is that we have become way too busy to be the church anymore. We have just enough time for worship, maybe. And if we're here, we're going to make sure that we don't get too excited about being here. I have a photograph, by the way, and I'm saving this as for Carl's retirement party. But I have a photograph of Carl Crozier, our very dignified cantor, doing the hokey pokey. Oh. I'm thinking about an 8-foot screen. Because you see, that day I thought the gospel, that the Spirit had been unleashed. Now what if we could do it? What if we were unbound from that apathy? What if we actually could care again? And the last thing that she says binds us is fear. Fear. We are afraid to take a risk. We're afraid that if we do something that is beyond the norm or that might be a little bit offensive, that people might leave. We in the church are afraid to make decisions which are controversial. We have a difficult time spending our monies in ways that we haven't spent them in the last 40 years. We in the church live in fear, despite the angel's constant reminder, do not be afraid. Now, Kelly envisions a church where, as happens to Peter, the chains have begun to fall off. She envisions a church where we are passionate about one thing, the Word of God in Jesus Christ unleashed on the world. She envisions a church where we are not afraid to tell people about Christ. She envisions a church where when we come here, we're centered on that word and bathed in it, where we take our baptism seriously and courageously. She envisions a church where people actually want to do ministry. Lately, we've been trying to to use the technical term, people some committees. Good Lord. You would think we were asking you to scrape the stuff off the archives. Jim's not here, so I can say that. You would think we were asking you to pick up the dog doo in the yard. And I don't blame you. For the most part, serving on committees is not that fun. And if you've ever been on a committee in a church, you also will find out that not much gets done. So why would you want to serve on a committee? Why would you want to commit your time and your resources? Well, you wouldn't. But in a church filled with the Spirit of God and a vision for loving God's people, we don't serve on committees. We do ministry together. Now that's exciting. Imagine a committee with no minutes. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Imagine a committee, a quote committee, who had a clear task of sharing the love of Jesus Christ with everyone. Opening up, as we did in the children's sermon, the closedness that we sometimes feel and stretching ourselves out to make room for all of God's people. When Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Well, of course I do." And Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, isn't that nice? Aren't you special?" He says, "Feed my lambs." And then a little later, Jesus asks again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yeah, I love you, Jesus." And he says, "Tend my sheep." And then the third time, and by now Peter's more than a little annoyed. "Do you love me, Peter?" "Well, for goodness sake, Jesus, you know everything, don't you? Of course I love you." "Tend my sheep." God doesn't release Peter from the prison just to hang out on a bench. He straps a belt around Peter and puts his cloak on and his sandals on and prepares him for a journey to be a tender and a feeder of God's flock. In the same way, God doesn't give us this place or this liturgy or these musicians or this floor or these pews so that we can wait for his coming again comfortably. But rather, God drops the shackles from our wrists and puts a belt around our waist and a cloak around our shoulders so that we can be sent out to be the church, not for ourselves, but for the world. I think Kelly Fryer is on to something when she sees in us our blindness and our boundness. And when she rightly identifies that God may be up to something else, that this God that we read about in dusty pages is alive and well and present and turning the key on our captivity. I envision this church as a place filled with the joy and energy of the Spirit. I see in you God's people unbound for the sake of this world, that you might feed sheep, tend sheep, feed lambs, that the brokenhearted and the broken-spirited might find home. that you might bind, that you might wrap yourself around them and send them out. Over and over again, and again, I read another article this weekend that predicted that churches like ours, Lutheran Church of Honolulu, and churches like ours around the world are on their last legs. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true because just as God set Peter free, God will set us free. I see glimpses of it all the time. I was surprised yesterday as we marched in the Gay Pride Parade how often people, as we walked along, said, "Thank you for being here." We were one of two churches represented there. Unity Church, who we were expecting to be there, because they love everybody, were way in the front, right? Where were the Lutherans? Third to last. Bill Potter said it was an ecclesiastical parade, where the most important comes at the last. But I want to finish this by simply saying that there was a case where God set us free some years ago to love and feed sheep. And I am just delighted at how surprised some people were that we were there and how wonderful it was to be God's presence in that place. God is sending us out, unbinding us, dropping those fetters from our hands and our wrists and our feet and our mouths, and calling us to be stretched for the gospel's sake and nourished for the word. So therefore, go out into the world as Peter is sent and Paul is sent. There is mission out there that God is calling us to. It will not wait for someone else to do it. God is calling you. Amen.